Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Would the sound man please turn Mr. Reagan's mic off for a minute? Is this on? Mr. Green,
did you turn that microphone
off? You asked for me if you would. I am paying for this microphone, Mr. Green.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that wasn't Donald Trump, but that was Ronald Reagan back in 1980. And welcome to Stand in the Gap Today. We're going to be talking about that today. And along with Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, who's back from Ukraine, I'm Gary Dahl, and we are delighted to have every one of you with us wherever you might be, up and down the Stand in the Gap Radio Network. But I don't know, where should I start? Sam, welcome home, but then again, we've got Donald Trump and Ronald Reagan. I'm telling you, exciting things going on today. A lot to talk about, sir, but welcome home.
Gary and Dave, it's great to be back with you, and I look forward to giving an update of an exciting, exciting trip to Ukraine, where I'm not going to go into it right now, but working on the constitutional principles, helping that nation to move toward a constitution that recognizes fundamental rights as from God. I'm going to share some things in the second segment to get back to it. I think that'll be of a really tremendous encouragement to all who are going to be listening.
Well, we want to encourage every one of you to stay tuned, because we'll be getting into that particularly in the second segment of the program today. But what you just heard is about 35 years old, but David Kistler, it sort of likens Donald Trump to Ronald Reagan as a man who means what he says and says what he means, and, you know, he doesn't mince any words.
Well, you know, Gary, there's a lot of things I could say, but just going back and listening to that from February the 23rd of 1980, that really propelled Ronald Reagan into the limelight of the American people, and they saw him as being more than just an amiable B-movie actor. They saw that he had fire. If you watch the clip, when the microphone is turned off, and Reagan has paid for that microphone, if you remember the situation leading up to that particular event, Reagan stands to his feet, picks up the microphone, holds it under his mouth, and says, "I'm paying for this microphone." And you see a side of Reagan that most of the American people have never seen. My point, Gary, is this. What happened yesterday with Donald Trump and that reporter, an anchor with Univision.
George Ramos.
Ramos, yes, was basically Donald Trump saying, we have boundaries here. We're going to conduct our press events in a certain way. You're not going to come in and preempt. You're not going to come in and usurp. You're not going to come in and talk over other people that have already gotten in line to ask a question. And again, that's exactly the way Reagan conducted himself. Jimmy Carter's press conferences from 76 to 1980 were a fiasco. They were reporters trying to speak over each other. And the first press conference Reagan did, his press secretary stood up and said, "Here's how we're going to operate. There will be no asking questions over top of each other. You will raise your hand. You will be recognized. And once the president has recognized you, you can ask your question." And order was restored to the press room. So anybody watching what Donald Trump did yesterday and has any kind of historical context will appreciate what he did rather than criticizing him for it.
Well, in case anybody out there listening this afternoon just woke up and you didn't see the news over the past 24 hours or so, yesterday Donald Trump's security temporarily removed Univision anchor George Ramos from a press conference in Iowa after Ramos tried to confront the presidential candidate about his immigration policy without being called upon. And, you know, Trump said to Ramos, "Sit down, you weren't called on yet," something like that. And, of course, Ramos responded by saying, "Well, I have a right to ask a question." And Trump responded by saying, "No, you don't. Go back to Univision." And, of course, Ramos was taken out of the room. And a little bit later on, of course, he was brought back in. He was allowed to come back into the room. And as a result, Trump answered his questions. The question that Ramos asked was how Trump plans to deport 11 million people. to which Trump replied, and I quote, "The one thing we're going to start with immediately is the gangs." And then, of course, he said, "We are also going to be out so fast as it relates to undocumented criminals that their heads will spin." And, of course, the interview went on and so forth and so on. But, Sam, you know, you've been involved with government. You've been involved with press conferences down through the years. And, you know, certainly if order isn't kept, it can get out of order. And in this situation with Donald Trump, just within the past week or so, he basically said that nobody is going to interrupt him. He is in charge when it comes time to having these press conferences, and they'll take their turn or they'll be invited to leave. And certainly George Ramos should have known that. Maybe he was just trying to test Trump. I don't know, but Trump did what he did. What are your thoughts on that as one who's conducted many press conferences down through the years?
Well, Gary, if just like any situation, there has to be a head. There has to be someone in charge. Press conferences are no different. Someone is going to lead it. It's either from the podium, the person being interviewed, or it's going to be this classroom full of kids, put it in that perspective. The teacher in the classroom is in charge, or the kids are in charge. The interviewee is in charge, or the interviewers are in charge. And so from that perspective, it has to be done if you're actually going to get anything substantively done. The key thing to watch for here is the attitude. Is the interviewer, in this case of Trump, is he refusing to answer questions? Does he always refuse to acknowledge somebody that's out there? For instance, if it's an opportunity to show bias, or if there is a an attitude that comes through, that's a different matter. But that's not what was shown there in the Reagan clip that we did. He was intense. Was he wrong? No. The answer was he was not wrong. And actually, out of that debate that he was in, he went on in that debate. He basically cinched the election at that point. It was because he demonstrated leadership. So, no, Gary, someone's got to be in charge. And the attitude that Trump manifested was not a bad attitude. It was one of saying there's going to be a rule and decorum of order, and I'm in charge, and I'm making the rules, and he can, and he should.
And he actually had called on another individual. He was looking at a reporter, you know, straight ahead when George Ramos, who was off to his right, tried to interrupt the particular discussion that Trump was having with this other reporter.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, if you don't step in, you actually, to some degree, are showing disrespect for the person who had been in order and was recognized. So had he not done that, the reporter who had was in place and had his hand up and was recognized, he would have shown him dishonor had he not called Ramos down. So, no, it was appropriate.
Gary, can I also say this?
Go ahead.
Gary, can I jump in and say this? And I know I'm not trying to shift gears to another topic, but this is the same mindset that Donald Trump has relative to immigration. And what I mean by that is this. If a reporter should not jump ahead of another reporter in asking a question, an illegal immigrant shouldn't jump ahead of somebody who's gotten in line and is trying to immigrate here legally either. So he is consistent in the way he views things.
Exactly. Well,
that's right. And, of course, we're going to take a break right now. We're up against a hard break. When we come back, Sam Rohr is going to be talking to us a little bit more about his trip over in Ukraine. You will not want to miss this discussion, I'm sure. You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, along with Dave Kistler, Sam Rohr. I'm Gary Dahl. We will be back right after these messages.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for everyone. every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
A nation of well-informed men who have been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved. It is in the region of ignorance that tyranny begins. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Women can vote. That was the monumental news this day, August 26, 1920, as the 19th Amendment became law. It reads, "The rights of citizens of the U.S. to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex." This culminated 50 years of effort by many of the women leaders who fought to abolish slavery, one of which was Julia Ward Howe, author of The Battle Hymn of the Republic. She wrote in the third verse, "Let the hero born of woman crush the serpent with his heel, since God is marching on."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
The 15th Amendment, Section 1. The right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of providence which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today, along with Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr. I am Gary Dahl, and we're going to go to Sam in just a minute to give us an update on his trip over in Ukraine. But before we do, a couple of things. Number one, most of you may know by now that two members of a Virginia television news crew were shot dead during a live broadcast about 6:45 this morning. The individual who was being interviewed was, of course, shot as well and has been taken to surgery. We're going to be talking a little bit more about that, perhaps later on in the program. So we'll try to bring you up to date as to where everything is regarding that at that particular point in time. Also, as we want to welcome all of those of you who may be new listeners on even on some new radio stations, we do thank you for the pleasure of your company, and we would encourage you to go to our Stand in the Gap radio website, which is www.standsinthegapradio.com. That's www.standinthegapradio.com, and learn more about this program and the other two programs we produce at Stand in the Gap. You can learn something about the Dave and Sam and myself, the hosts of this program, co-hosts of this program, and we would invite you to indeed do that. Anyway, Sam Rohr, welcome back. The last couple of days have been really a whirlwind for you as you've gone over to Ukraine and have been involved with the American Pastors Network and our international director, Dale Armstrong, in trying to work with the religious and the governmental leaders in Ukraine concerning establishing a government on biblical foundations. You know what? That sounds quite exciting to me. How did it go?
Well, Gary, it went tremendously well, and I have way too much to share, so I'm going to focus on one particular event that occurred, and then we can have some discussion about that. But for those who are listening, the fact is that the American Pastors Network has been involved in Ukraine by request of governmental leaders and the pastors, a group of about 10,000 pastors there in Ukraine, invited us to go over last June. Gary, you and I were a part of that team to present biblical principles of how to integrate them into a new constitution. Where they are as a nation is this: they elected a new president after their Maidan Square freedom rally, where the Russian president was forced out of office January of 2014, and they are in the process now of moving toward a new constitution that can reflect a view to get a government that is free of bribery and corruption. Key words, free of bribery and corruption. It's a big deal there, as I think it is in this country, but there it's a really big deal. They've seen it. They don't know how to get there. Russia, Putin, is trying to get them to put things into the Constitution to favor Russia. The Obama administration is trying to get them to put things into the Constitution to reflect such things, for instance, as gender equality. Believe it, gentlemen, yes, that is happening. The European Union is trying to get them to put things into their Constitution to favor European socialism. So in the middle of it is what we are doing and providing a direction. Now, one of the things that we did is that we presented on Saturday to a group of about 20-some that included a group of about five legal attorneys. They happened to be individuals that were from the largest university in the country, about 40,000 students. That happens to be the equivalent of like a Harvard would be in Ukraine. It was there from their law division. These were the lawyers and the dean of the school of law that was there. They were in the setting. I started out, Gary and Dave, by laying the biblical foundation for law. Bible, God, you know, has established authority, home, church, and civil government, and this is how it's laid out. And I laid this out, and I tell you, I'm watching these individuals who were there, and they were snickering. Their body language was everything about, I couldn't believe it. This was too much for them to swallow. And gentlemen, I knew, and I'm watching them, I'm praying at the same time, Lord, deliver truth to them. And when I got partway through, I talked about some aspects of law, and I shared an example of something that's in our Supreme Court in Pennsylvania here. We're talking about
law. Let
me just
interject quickly here, Sam, to clarify something. When you said that this was too much for them to handle, is that something you thought or something that you thought they were thinking as you were giving your presentation?
I know they were thinking it. I saw their bottom line, because it was as a biblical message. For atheists to take and accept that, it's like, how much? But they began to shift, and this is where I'm going to sum it up. When we left, they came and said and made this statement to our fellows that were there, this is the first time we ever, in all of our legal history and career, we teach law, and that's what they do. This is the first time that we ever saw and now understand the connection between faith and law. Mm-hmm. And gentlemen, they invited the fellow that was with me and myself to go back and teach the biblical underpinnings of American law to their law students. These are atheists. And my question, we had a good discussion with it afterwards, is that the tendency was in a setting like that, where if you have folks who you know don't believe the truth, go soft on it. Don't really lay it out clearly. Back up a little bit because you're going to offend them. Gentlemen, the truth, if properly directed, does not offend, it instructs. That was noteworthy, and it kind of flavored the entire event. Many things like that happened in this trip.
So it almost appears, it does appear to me at least, Sam, that God opened the door and opened their hearts, even the hearts of the atheists, so that you might be able to have the opportunity to lay the biblical foundation for law. That you know what? That's a miracle.
Well, it is a miracle, Gary, but the world is falling apart. Mm-hmm. The world as led by atheistic postmodernism. The world in this country, well, it's confusion. Without biblical direction, there's nothing but confusion. They in that country seek for peace. They want freedom. But they don't get it from Putin in Russia, and they do not get it from George Soros and the European Union. And they look and they say nothing of these things makes sense, and they only want to use us in this nation of Ukraine. You guys laid down the biblical principles that were espoused in our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, and there's nothing more than saying this is the right that God has given you, and this is how you can perceive and direct freedom. And that's why they came back and said for the first time, we now understand the connection between faith and law. Of course, we know that without moral underpinnings, there is no good law.
Sam, let me ask you this. While you were there and as you were up speaking, at the moment you begin to notice those responses coming from those that were of an atheistic persuasion, did you simultaneously, Sam, and I'm asking this because I'm a speaker and I've been in situation somewhat similar to that, did you sense an infusion of God's power, just sort of a courage come over you at that moment that just said, tell it like it is, do it in an appropriate way, but speak the truth? And it was just this, just something that welled up in you or came over you that said, say it, and you did.
Dave, I would say, yes, that is correct. And this particular piece that I have presented, I have done across these United States in settings, and the same kind of thing happens to people who are not atheists. I've seen the same kind of thing happen for people who serve in office. Our ministers together piece, we call it those in office and the pastors. The understanding of the fact of God laid this whole thing out, the connecting of the dots makes even those who know the truth come to a fuller recognition. And in this case, for those who had rejected truth, I think probably as atheists growing up in that economy, they had never ever heard anything like this before, and it was almost a refreshing piece of infusion of information for them.
So in probably sense, would not be able to. I'm sorry, Dave, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brother Gary. No, this is exciting stuff. Sam, in one sense, this was a situation very similar to Paul's Mars Hill experience. This was your Mars Hill experience.
Well, Dave, in many respects, it was because, you know, I mean, in this country, we deal with a certain things different. We here, we deal with the understanding of what God has done. We have been the recipient of God's blessing. Here, many people who have known the truth are purposely rejecting it. I think that's a far scarier position than many people around the world who long for freedom but have never had it. And when they have a sense of it, just like the Mars Hill, when they were blindly seeking something, when they see it put together, it's like, wow, I never knew that before. Truth provides hope. Truth is leadership. Truth is all about what we try to do in this program. And I'm telling you, it is being sensed, it is being seen, and where it is given out, people respond because the truth changes lives and changes minds and establishes a direction that is credible. And that's what we need.
Well, unfortunately, Sam, you know, I would venture to say that you would probably get a more resistance to what you said here in the United States of America than what you did over there in Ukraine.
Well, I think, Gary, perhaps on the part of many, certainly the ACLU mm-hmm. types and others, mm-hmm. I mean, they have purposely rejected the truth. But on the other hand, talking about press conferences, Gary, you and I were at press conferences where we had people who were trying to catch us in our words and who mm-hmm. and who they thought were opposed to the biblical moral truth. In this case, we're talking about marriage. You know what I'm talking about. And yet, when answered in that setting, those people responded to the truth. There are some who reject it, but many have just never heard it.
Well, we know, Sam and Dave, that the truth will prevail. And certainly we should not water down the truth. We must proclaim the truth. We must preach the truth. We must declare the truth. And God will take his truth and make a difference in the lives of those who will believe it. Well, thank you for that update, Sam. We're going to continue, ladies and gentlemen, once we come back from this break. This is Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network. We'll be right back after these messages.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Chris Foster. The manhunt's over for a man suspected of killing a TV reporter and a cameraman on live television this morning in Virginia. Here's Fox News Radio's Tanya J. Powers.
Roanoke TV station WDBJ is reporting Virginia State Police say Vester Lee Flanagan, the man they believed opened fire on that news crew, is alive and in critical condition. Earlier reports said Flanagan had killed himself. Station manager Jeff Marks described Flanagan, a former employee.
He was sort of looking out for people to say things that he could take offense to.
Mark said he had been fired for anger issues, escorted from the station by police. Flanagan went by the on-air name Bryce Williams, and video of the shooting was posted on social media accounts by that name earlier today. Chris.
Tanya, thanks. The one being interviewed during the shooting was also hit. She's in stable condition. This is a Fox News alert.
Trinity Associates Incorporated has been in the electrical power testing business for over 35 years. We've specialized in working for some of the biggest firms in Philadelphia, and indeed America. Not only do big firms appreciate our expertise because of their size, but they can compare us to our competitors. They appreciate our reasonable prices. In fact, many of the largest firms call us year after year for sometimes 35 years in a row. We can provide the same service for smaller firms, bringing the same expertise and reasonable prices. Call Trinity Associates Incorporated for your electrical power testing needs and a free quote. Not all electrical power testing firms are the same. Call Trinity Associates Incorporated at 610-876-6428. That's 610-876-6428. Visit their website at trinityassos.com. That's trinityassos.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and on behalf of Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dahl. We are delighted to have you with us, and we encourage you to go to our Stand in the Gap radio site, which is www.standinthegapradio, one word, standinthegapradio.com. www.thesavingfaith.com and learn more about this ministry that we have, this broadcast, as well as other broadcasts that are produced by the American Pastors Network. Sam, before we go on to the discussion on the shooting that took place down in Virginia, I think it's exciting to see what the Lord has done for you there over in Ukraine. And so if you could just take a few moments and share with our listeners some of the prayer requests that they must take before the throne of grace on our behalf, as well as the immediate plans that are yet to come in this ministry that we have in Ukraine.
Well, thank you, Gary. I think that's very appropriate. On the larger sense, we should pray for the nation of Ukraine itself. Reason being is that the reality of Russian troops on the eastern border is very real. The fact that he regularly threatens to come across and take over is very real. Now, I did not sense any anxiety on perhaps of the on behalf of the people in Kiev, the capital city. It really didn't. Life was quite normal and so forth. But that's a very real thing, and those who know what's going on is an issue. So that would be number one. Number two. Pray for the Christians that are in that part of the country, Crimea to the south, Donbass area, which is what's called, to the east. Those are two areas that he has taken over, Russia has taken over. They have killed many people, and many of them Christians. The pastors in those areas have actually stood up, and like the pastors of the revolutionary days, war days in our country, they are actually leading their people. They are some have fled, but many are staying in those areas, and they are equipping their own people in their church to defend those parts of the country, just like our founders, the Black Road Brigade of years ago. It's very interesting. So you ought to pray for those that are there, specifically for us, that God continues to give us favor, and he is within the highest levels of government and giving a responsiveness to biblical principles that are laid out to help guide this nation, which is the most Christian nation in Europe, Ukraine is, to guide them in these days of great uncertainty, but that God will continue to open up those doors as he is. We believe in operating under authority, and we believe, as the proverb says, you know, better to have the king say, come up and sit at my table, than to walk into a room and go up to the table and say, here I am, king, aren't you glad I'm here? God has used the powers that be, the authorities, to invite us in and say, come, will you help us? That's always better. We think that's the biblical model, but we just pray for folks to continue to pray for this. A nation that's in the news, who want freedom, never had it. They don't want what America is right now. I'm telling you, they do not want what America is right now, but they do hunger for what our Declaration of Independence does mean, what our Constitution does say, and they do want what the America was that we remember as a shining city on a hill. They want that, and that's what we're helping to deliver. That's how I'd ask people to pray for us.
Oh, that we would have that same invitation from religious and governmental leaders here in the United States of America, Sam. We've talked about that.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
And my, that's something to pray for as well. Well, to shift gears a little bit, I think most of you probably know by now that two members of a Virginia television news crew were shot dead during a live broadcast this morning that took place around 6:45 this morning. These two who were killed were from WDBJ Channel 7 in the Roanoke area. Allison Parker, age 24, was the reporter, and Adam Ward, age 27, was the cameraman. And they were interviewing a lady at what is referred to as the Smith Mountain Lake Regional Chamber of Commerce area. And as that interview was going on, an individual stood up and shot Allison Parker and Adam Ward, also shot the head of the Smith Mountain Lake Regional Chamber of Commerce, Vicki Gardner. She was not killed. She was taken into surgery. And it has come out that the individual who did the shooting was Vester Lee Flanagan, age 41, who, of course, was a former employee there at the television station, that is WDBJ in the Roanoke area. This is a very, very sad situation, and we were kind of hoping to have a guest on today from a local station here in the Altoona, Pennsylvania area where I live. I called the television station this morning and spoke to them over there to let them know that we're concerned about their reporters. I mentioned that we are praying for them. And folks, I would encourage you to pray for these television reporters as they go out on the front lines and cover the news. And we were kind of hoping to have Phil Dubrow, who is the general manager of WTAJ Television here, a CBS affiliate in Altoona, Pennsylvania. But he was unable to be on, and we wanted to get his insights. But Dave Kistler, during the program today, you have been monitoring what is actually going on down there in Virginia. And I'm wondering if you could give us an update on what's transpired in the past hour or so while we've while this whole thing has been transpiring.
Yeah, Gary, I'd be delighted to. In fact, where the situation is currently is the gentleman, Vesterly Flanagan, also went by the name Bryce Williams. When he worked at WDBJ, he was an employee, evidently was dismissed. Disgruntled is the term that has been used to describe him. But anyway, Gary, he actually filmed the shooting himself from his cell phone. And I have been able to pull that video up and watch it. And Gary, it's disturbing. It's 56 seconds long. It shows him walking what looks like down a boardwalk. You see in the distance, Mrs. Parker, Miss Parker, the reporter. You see the cameraman, Mr. Ward. You see Mrs. Gardner being interviewed. The three of them are very close together, tightly close together. They seem oblivious to the fact that Mr. Williams, or Mr. Flanagan, as he is also went by, is walking up on them. He actually holds the gun out where you can see it in his cell phone camera, and they're oblivious. The other three are totally paying attention to what they're doing, oblivious to what he is doing, and then he fires off what looks like to be 2 to 3 shots directly at the young lady, Miss Parker. She runs at that point, and then the video goes blank. It is horrific to watch. Ultimately, we know that Allison Parker and Adam Ward were both killed. Vicky Gardner, the person who was the head of the Smith Mountain Chamber of Commerce, she was shot in the back and, of course, is in surgery. But Gary, at about 11:10 a.m., Williams or Flanagan, whichever name you want to call him, tweeted out, quote, "I filmed the shooting. See Facebook." And he actually posted this video on Facebook of him shooting these folks. So, Gary, it's a real tragedy. He evidently fled down Highway 66, Interstate 66, which leads basically across the state of Virginia in the northern section of the state, and was pulled over by two Virginia highway patrolmen, two Virginia policemen. And as they approached the car, he turned his gun on himself, evidently attempting to commit suicide. As I understand it now, and this could change, but as I understand it right now, he was unsuccessful in his attempt to kill himself and is in very serious condition at a local hospital. And doctors are doing what they can to try to save his life.
Well, this is a very sad situation. And Dave, I appreciate you giving us an update on what's going on there. And of course, you're watching it live, even as we are live on the on the radio right now. And of course, this kind of a thing, for whatever reason, takes place all too often. And Sam, you actually found out while you were over in Ukraine that a number of journalists have faced similar situations over there in recent days.
Gary, it is very interesting, and I think we can make some interesting parallels. But yes, on Monday of this week, when I was there, that's the recognized Independence Day for Ukraine. So there were a lot of activities that went on and so forth. But one of the things that was in the news and that we were aware of at that point was that they were also celebrating, not celebrating the fact that this happened, but noting it, I guess, was that in the last 10 years, there have been 51 journalists in Ukraine that have either been murdered or disappeared. 51.
Wow.
Now, we had a discussion about that there, saying if that were the case in America, if we would have journalists disappearing, and 51 of them in this nation disappearing or being killed, we would think that there would be an outcry. We would think, surely, that the American people would just rise. But Gary, we can talk about that later. But the application of that, I think, is really critical as we look at what's happening here and what may happen if we're not careful.
Well, absolutely so. And when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we want to share with you what is developing as the result of that shooting this morning down in Virginia. So don't go away. This is Stand in the Gap from the American Pastors Network. We will be back right after these messages. Stay tuned.
A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But have you ever stopped to ask how much is enough or how much is too much? Will the money you leave to your family come between them and God? I believe that God increases our wealth not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, a Christian wealth advisory firm. We work with believers and especially widows to wisely manage their wealth and efficiently pass it on to their children and grandchildren. We are financial, tax, and estate planners. We help successful Christians make wise decisions with their money so they can better provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Without God, liberty will not last. A quote from Thomas Jefferson.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? I know you always said how important it is, but the only part we're reading in eighth grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading by Linda Monk says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians for Restoring Education brought you this message. Go to parestoringeducation.org or call 484-678-2236.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Tune in from 7 to 8 a.m. every Friday morning to hear Gary Porter, Executive Director of the Constitutional Leadership Initiative, Phil Duffy, Constitutional Law Instructor at Widener University, Pastor David Whitney, Senior Instructor at the Institute on the Constitution, and their guests every Friday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. as they explore and help us understand the Constitution, not only as our foundational document, but also as it relates to our lives today, right here on 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we are talking about the two members of the Virginia television news crew who were shot dead during a live broadcast at 6:45 this morning Eastern Time. And, we've been doing what we can through David Kistler there to keep you up to date as to what's actually transpiring. But earlier today, Dave and Sam, I heard a reporter in one of the interviews that was being conducted with the governor of Virginia basically ask a question on whether or not this is an issue of people who having guns who should not be allowed to have guns and so forth and so on. In other words, he was bringing up a question as it relates to the Second Amendment. And ladies and gentlemen, we know that it's the Second Amendment that does give us the right here in the United States of America to carry a gun. And so, my question, I'll go to you first, Sam, and then on over you to Dave. Do you think that this is going to bring up that beast again where there will be those who will say, well, we need to do away with the Second Amendment because it's too dangerous, not realizing a gun has never killed anybody? It's the person who has pulled the trigger. Sam, your thoughts on that?
Gary, I'm gonna make a connection here and say, yes, watch for those who step forward and wish to take away our Second Amendment rights using this as an example. Because if the taking away of their Second Amendment rights is the solution to preventing the shooting of journalists, then does not it make sense, gentlemen, that we take away the First Amendment rights for a journalist to even be able to talk? Because had they not been there, the guy wouldn't have gone after them. There's a connection here that must be made. After coming back from Ukraine, and I'm seeing what they're having to do to talk about and justify the most basic rights we take for granted in our Constitution, First Amendment rights, the freedom of the press to be able to do certain things, Second Amendment to protect ourselves. These things are all under assault. And I think that rather than if somebody stands up and says, let's examine a Second Amendment, why we should take it away, they ought to be discounted and thrown out. We ought to be taking opportunity and saying why. This points to the fact of why we need the Second Amendment, not why we don't need it.
Hmm. Wow. Dave, your thoughts on that?
Well, Gary, let me say this. I couldn't agree more with Sam. I think it underscores the reason, as Sam very eloquently said, why we need a Second Amendment, why we need to have the right to carry a weapon, not why we don't need to have that right. Gentlemen, let me bring you up to speed, if I can, very, very quickly on what's going on. Evidently, this gentleman, Vester Flanagan or Bryce Williams, whichever name he went by, sued another radio station in Tallahassee, Florida in the year 2000, claiming that racist comments had been made about him. He sought $75,000 in damages. He evidently, even at WDBJ, the station, Channel 7 there in the Roanoke area, the station manager, a gentleman named Jeff Marks, described Flanagan as an unhappy man and very difficult to work with. But here's what happened. About 11:30 a.m. today, Virginia State Police evidently spotted the suspect's vehicle eastbound on Interstate 66 with their emergency lights running. The police officers, troopers pulled up beside him, tried to initiate a traffic stop. Mr. Flanagan, Mr. Williams resisted that, sped away. And then just within a few minutes, the police officers that were pursuing him saw his car run off the road and crash. The troopers very cautiously approached the vehicle and found that Mr. Flanagan / Williams was suffering from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. At present, and again, this is the last report I've heard, he is in the hospital They're trying to save his life from what they believe may well be life-threatening or life-ending injuries.
You know, I've often wondered about people who try to commit suicide with a handgun and miss their target. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I think if I was going to commit suicide and I had a pistol, I'd know where to hold it, don't you? And I sometimes wonder that those who attempt to commit suicide and miss the target, you know, they're trying to make some other kind of a statement. They want to see what the outcome is going to be. They want to exalt themselves a little bit according to their cause. Don't you think, Dave?
Well, Gary, you know, I think you're onto something. If you watch the video that Flanagan himself took of the shooting, it is incredibly deliberate. He walks right down this boardwalk, walks right up to the three people that are ultimately his victims. He lifts the gun into the frame of his cell phone camera so it can be seen, takes the gun back down, lifts it back up again where it can be seen, and then fires off the initial three rounds of what appears to be about 14 rounds or so that he ultimately fired. But yeah, Gary, I think he's going out either in a blaze of glory or he is attempting to make a statement. Obviously, this guy was very angry at the television station, angry at this reporter for supposedly some reports are saying some racist comments, quote unquote, that she made toward him. So, yeah, Gary, I think he is going out in a big way. And then when the police try to pull him over, why he would choose to use that same handgun and try to end his life is a little bit troubling and difficult to understand. But maybe he felt hemmed in and thought, well, you know, this is the ultimate way to end what I started earlier today.
So is he African-American?
He is, Gary. And again, there are some things about one of the pictures from the shooting scene when the cameraman fell to the ground. His camera was still recording and the camera was facing up and actually got an image of Mr. Flanagan slash Williams. And the pictures that they are showing of him from his employment time at the television station there in the Roanoke area, he looks different than he does today in the shooting. And I'm not going to say any more about it because I don't want to assume things. But anyway, you know, there could be all kinds of motivations for what he did today yet to be revealed.
Well, he's 41 years of age, which means that he's no doubt been in the business for, you know, 20 years or so, maybe 15, 20 years. And who knows what is motivating him to do this. But Sam, why is it that we see more and more things like this taking place? Not only in the United States of America, but around the world. There is a solution to it all, isn't there?
Well, Gary, there is. I mean, the value of life, if we throw out God and Creator and not believe and believe that we came out of the muck and the mire due to evolution, there is no value to human life. Certainly the media downplays the value of life. I think it's a result of a coarsening of society because we've thrown God out. And what's the solution to that? It's just like we said over in Ukraine. It's laying down biblical truth that gives a plan for living, and then tied in with it is the plan of redemption that can take that which falls apart and make it whole again. This is the need, the transformation of the hearts of those. That's the key, Gary.
Well, it is, and that's why we believe here at the American Pastors Network that it's important that we get out the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you for being with us today. The Lord willing, we will be back with you again tomorrow on another Stand in the Gap Today. And, of course, we encourage you to go to our website, standinthegapradio.com, learn more about us and this particular program. Until tomorrow, on behalf of Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dahl saying stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, for the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.